It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
There's a lot to glean from this. We're not going to do the phony anger thing because we've kind of been warning everybody that it could get worse, or it could just stay the same level of mucky for the rest of the way here, that because it got so bad so early, that it's really, really tough at any point to get it kind of tilted up and just get to a positive place. They played 3 really decent quarters. Like, we moved the ball. There were a couple touchdowns. That Elijah Moore touchdown in the corner of the end zone was a beautiful thing from Jameis and from Elijah. Great toe tap there. David Njoku had a day. Jerry Jeudy had a day.
Jerry Jeudy was great.
Didn't run the ball. But other than that, like, there were some good defensive moments. Denzel Ward had a day. Interception and the fumble. So, like, there were some. And then the fourth quarter happened where it went punt, touchdown, downs, punt, touchdown, punt. And it was like, oh, so this wind, you basically, you know who this was? You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of if you're like Youngstown State and you go in there and you're on the road in Champaign, Illinois to face the vaulted 6-2 or 6-3 fighting Illini, and you're in there and for 3 quarters you're even, man, and then eventually the juggernaut that is Illinois football just wakes up and runs away with it. Notice I didn't say this was like Ohio playing Ohio State. I didn't mention, like, oh, man, you're going up against Alabama and you're UAB and you hung in there for 3 quarters. No. The Saints suck. The Saints are not good.
They're definitely not even Illini worthy of the conversation,
so
if we're being honest about it.
Should I have gone to a MAC team versus like a D2 school?
You could have gone like Maryland, and I think it would have been the answer.
I was trying to lower the bar that we could describe the level, that the ceiling of a team that you faced.
I mean, they fired their coach 2 weeks ago, Nick.
Yes. And all, if I hear Coach Riz one more time.
Actually, you know what? I think I love Coach Riz.
All right.
I love Coach Riz.
What was the play, the goofy
play?
When
Taysom Hill bombed that one deep and his eyes bulged out of his socket, it looked like he was going to legitimately leave his face the entire time the ball was in the air. I loved it. I instantly fell in love with Coach Riz.
He also strikes me as every special teams coach
ever.
I've ever met.
Ever.
A guy who has no business being a head coach, but you just love him because he's got the gumption. That's where
I would run through a brick wall for Coach Riz. I tell you that right now.
No. I would run through like a marshmallow wall.
I would know I'm being an idiot when I do it, but I would run through a brick wall for Coach Riz.
I'm not going Reagan Maui Owie on this, all right? If there was like a wall made of like slime, like the kid's slime, okay. I'd run through that.
Yeah, that one?
I'd gingerly walk through it. I'm not running through anything. I'm almost 40.
Had a Gruden vibe to him. But I loved him.
No.
I loved him.
That's the thing. Okay, if we're going to say it's not even like Illinois level football, then he's like he's like the old coach. Oh my God, was it Larry Green? Who was the guy who would always say things like, "It's like you got your ass kicked by your grandma." He was like the North Dakota State. That's who you got beat by. You got beat by the Rizzler.
He was very unserious, and I loved every second of it.
The only thing missing yesterday
when Hopkins missed the field goal
was some
It was the PAT. That was great.
The only thing missing was some pre-diabetic, pre-teen kid coming out and hitting him with the old Rizzler look. That's the only way you could have made that loss any more insulting.
Some little kid that looks like he belongs on the Jersey Shore.
And it's so funny that people are debating whether they gave up or not. What's the debate?
There's no debate.
You've got Juan Thornhill, who's like somebody's like not even pressing on the toggle.
Hey, glad to know Juan Thornhill could get his cardio session in for the day.
Remember two years ago, he's like, "I'm a Super Bowl champion. I'm bringing the positivity here. I'm bringing it by force." He told Browns fans, "We got to up the love there."
Oh, that's right. He got so mad at Browns fans and for not having the energy that he wanted. Oh man.
2 years later, the Browns have completely defeated his will.
He's a broken human now, isn't he?
He's a broken man.
He is. He's broke.
And here's the thing. He's going to go back to Kansas City next year, and he's going to find his smile like Shawn Michaels circa 1997.
It was such a – he went for a jog in the park on a football field. That's all he did.
And you know what?
Nice day to get a light jog in.
Listen, who knows if he could catch him, right? Let's just play devil's advocate. It's hard to run hard. You got me. I understand. Like, I've tried running hard. That sucks.
It was funny because he
tearing Achilles that way.
I've watched the playback like 75 times. And it's like he's jogging because he feels like the player's out of reach and he's not going to be able to get to him. And then there's like a big pile up. And then that would have been his opportunity to get him. But he was so far back because he was jogging the entire time that he never had a chance. It was just awful on so many levels.
And
awful.
By the way, Juan, I'm sorry we called you out. It was the whole team in the fourth quarter.
It was a lot of people.
It was okay.
A lot of people we can call out.
It was a lot of business decisions yesterday. And I just thought it was wild that Jed didn't get benched. He was totally hurt. Wink, 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 wink. That he got busted for honestly talking about injuries. It had nothing to do with the business decisions line. Because he had the gall to come out and say they tried to get him to play when he was 70% and he wasn't. Yeah. Just let's distract ourselves from that for a minute. But no, it's not even a debate. Like, there were people on Twitter. This is a serious football organization. They do not give up in games. It's like, then you didn't watch the final quarter. Just tell me that you watched the first three quarters and that you have no context of how that game fell apart. And I'm not even mad because I don't have the bandwidth anymore. When they tell I have learned this. This has been a thing that has helped me age, not gracefully, but age.
You age like Obama in those photos sometimes.
When I came back from Charlotte, I was a sweet young pup. Yeah. And now I'm basically Reagan at the end of the second term. Like, I am senile, and it is not going out. He's still got Nancy. Hey, Ronnie.
Is that what we're hanging on to?
That's what we're hoping for.
You did it with such authority. Yeah. You still got Nancy.
Yeah, you did, buddy boy.
Yeah, you do.
Now. But listen, when people tell you who they are and you listen to them, stop being disappointed. The right. Browns told you who they were in the Raiders game, in the Commanders game, in the Eagles game, in the Bengals game, in the Chargers game. Some of those were outright ass kickings. Some of those where the game was wide open for two quarters. And every time they got close to a big stop or a big touchdown, they said, "I kind of feel like shawarma." They chose anything but winning football, winning habits, winning everything.
We talked about it on Friday. Was it the clip from Chase Daniel? We talked about it on Friday. Yeah. It's like, oh, they have no culture on this team. Yeah. Look at all the other coaches. Look at Harbaugh and the Chargers and what he's doing. Sean Payton in Denver. All these places, they have a culture. We don't have a culture. How do you turn around then on Sunday and be flabbergasted that that's the performance that you see? You can't possibly. That's on you if you're surprised at how the fourth quarter went.
It is still a new low, though. Because in those other things, they've at least stayed in the game. I'm going to polish one here for you, okay?
No chance.
In the Raiders game, the Raiders didn't run away with that. So even though you didn't...
Chargers game ran away with
it. Okay, but that was different. That was...
How was it different? They ran away with it.
Because it was a different game that I'm not referencing right now. But most of the games that they've been in with bad teams, you can at least make the case. You can at least... they didn't let up that second touchdown, right? They kept it within seven. You can't even do that here. The second they scored that first touchdown in the fourth quarter, you saw it. And by the way, here's how it's different than the Chargers game. You were coming off the bye, and as healthy as you had been in weeks.
Yeah.
So the whole... Well,
off the bye matters in this equation. It does. Good coaches win off the bye.
And healthy.
You had 2 weeks. You had 2 weeks to prepare for this. Because, and Taysom Hill got you?
Yeah.
Taysom time? Are you kidding me?
And he also tried to give it back to you.
Yeah, that was fourth quarter. The first quarter by him was a display of Taysom Hill that needs to go down, and we need to send the whole tape to Canton.
Yeah, like, here's the thing.
The highs and lows, everything in between.
He's the most overrated player in the history of football. Well,
Sean Payton once gave him $16 million a year.
He's a C-plus player at everything that he does, at best. And everyone's like, I mean, come on. And why? Because once a year, some lame-ass football team that has no heart, no balls, no leadership, no nothing, lets him do that to them. Because, yes, if Taysom Hill, if you just lay down, Taysom Hill will take everything that you have.
Here's how bad it was. In the postgame, Jameis is like, that might be one of the most athletic players the game has. And because of the game he just had, I was like, oh, maybe Jameis is right. Maybe Jameis is right. This 34-year-old white dude, maybe he really is the most athletic dude I've ever seen.
Here's the thing. He just earned another $16 million a year. Because this is what one game against a team with nothing. No, that's not true.
I mean, did you see any of the message boards in the Saints stuff? They're all like, great, we got our two or three games from Taysom that we get all year long.
Yeah.
That's one of our two or three. Great.
Saints fans are
They're not even happy about it. They're like, I guess we used one of our three games that we get from him on the Browns?
Do you know who's not hip to it? Saints organization and the rest of football. Because listening to Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma.
Talk about a turducken, by the way, when it's a 14-14 game in the third quarter.
Which I could just pour bleach into my ears before, because that's a pox upon football. They've been on like four calls this year. Is losing football this way not bad enough? I got to hear Jonathan Vilma say, what do you say? Purposefully. He added a sif in the middle of purposefully.
It wasn't that. It was the turducken convo that got me.
That's the one?
I couldn't do it. It's tied up at 14-14 in the third quarter. They clearly allotted that time for garbage time. They already thought, right, we'll bring the turducken guy in the third quarter. The game will be out of reach. Like, meaningful things are happening, and they're like, how about that John Madden? How about that turducken?
My favorite thing about it is just any time Jonathan Vilma goes, hey, gave up a touchdown. That's not good.
I mean,
you got a point there, friend. Let me rewind the tape here. I got to think about this one again. I thought it was good they gave up a touchdown, but now that you've said it, I think you've converted me. But no, like that whole game. And here's the thing. You want to hear the weakest ass like response to the Browns had zero effort yesterday in that fourth quarter? Because we're going to listen to the Browns head coach today, who was flat out asked about it. Kevin Stefanski, who might be dead man walking if you listen to the postgame. Lyman today was like, it's every other postgame I've ever heard. I've never heard Kevin Stefanski look like he needed a cuddle and a hug.
I thought Lyman said he missed the postgame.
I
agreed with him when he said it, because I also missed the postgame. It's the first postgame I've missed all year, because I was just like, I know what's going to happen.
No, it was, I was just like, you're a really good looking, successful
man. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Low for you. It's not a new low for us. Come here, Kev. Let the big bear get his paws on you.
Oh, you wanted to give him a hug.
Yeah, just you know what? I'm still firing you, but let me hug you before I fire you. But he was asked today, and you got Shedelled. I got to say, this has been this glow up for Jeff Shedell has been spectacular.
Long time coming.
I mean, you and I have been on the Shedell hive
years.
For a long time.
Years.
I mean, like, people got in on Taylor Swift when she was 14.
Also me.
That's...
Not that way. Not that.
I was going to say.
The music, guys.
I let the trap and you took it.
Mercy.
But I was with Shedell in the Shedell hive before he had a mustache. That's how long I've been with Jeff Shedell. And he asked Kevin Stefanski today about the old effort thing in the fourth quarter. Here's how Kevin tried to spin it.
When you were back and watched the film, what did you think of the effort?
Yeah, I thought we didn't play well enough to win is really what I saw.
Did the effort bother you? I know people question that. You give up 20 points in the fourth quarter, a couple long runs. Do you have any issues with the effort?
Yeah, I think we got out-executed a couple times where we just didn't do our job in some moments.
One, massive apologies to Scott Petrek, because I absolutely just browned that entire thing. That was Scott Petrek, who's also awesome, who I've also been on since Sunlight. Like, but we'll get to the Shedelling in a moment. But Kevin's best thing is it was just execution. Because you can't say the real part out loud. Oh.
Not that he would anyway.
No, not that he would. But you can hear it in the silence. You can hear it in the way that he just half-assedly attacks. Like, honestly, you should be incensed that somebody asked you about the team's effort. And you can't. You can't because you know in your heart of hearts, they gave up right then and there.
You can't. We got the disappointed. Everyone in the building is disappointed. Now we're 2-9. That's the best we get out of Stefanski in those moments. It's all you're ever going to get.
I mean, they were just, those guys, they're just beside themselves. No, they're at Chili's getting a sampler. They don't care.
I do like those samplers.
Like, I'd love any sampler. You can,
to mess up a sampler.
It's easy to. You got to bring the goods. Yeah, right. If there's three things of crap, it's still crap.
I'm going to find something I like. You give me three out of like any combo of like quesadilla, any of the little like chicken wings. I'm gonna find something I like out of the three.
How do I get chicken wings, quesadillas, and mozz sticks all in one?
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying. I love a sampler.
Proof there is a God right then and there.
You got it.
And then I listen to Kevin Stefanski's press conference and I'm like, maybe not so much. But no, you know that Kevin offered up the most half-acid, and I'm going to continue to say it that way, half-acid apology, or explanation.
I hope Jonathan Vilma's taking notes of you speaking right now, by the way. You got on him. I hope he's like, I'm gonna send this in a strongly worded email.
I'm dead. Yeah, you got me. Dead to rights there. 216-474-0092. It's half-acid. That's exactly what it is. With Sunday, I do want to throw this out there. With Sunday, the low point for this season for you with the Browns, I think when you just give up at the end of a game, and maybe I think I can put it better when we come back, but when you give up at the end of the game, that is a new thing. The Browns have given up at the start of the game. They've given up. They've given up in like the final minute of the game. But when they take a whole fourth quarter off, it's a whole new level of suck. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40. Nathan Zagura at 3. We've got Darryl Ryder. I'm sure he's going to be in a great mood at 6. It is a Browns Monday. Want to hear from you guys. Was that the lowest point of the season yesterday? And we will get to the Shedelling next on 92.3 The Fan. I actually have the perfect Jameis Winston moment coming up to lead off quick hits, because when I heard it, and I can't believe no other show has played it, I cackled when I heard Jameis because he almost forgot what script he was on.
Okay, is this a pregame or a postgame?
This is postgame.
Okay, because if it was anything like that, then he just sounds like somebody shot his puppy something.
No,
like
no, that was 90% of the postgame. But I promise you, if you're as twisted as I am, you're going to hear what I heard from Jameis coming up in 15 minutes in quick hits.
Okay.
So I just think yesterday, because I think you've brought up a good point of like, how was yesterday different than any of the other, are we 2-9 now?
Yeah, 2-9. Yeah.
2-9, okay. Yeah, other eight debacles that were this year?
Yeah, because I felt like I saw you online yesterday and you put a tweet out there, Nick Wilson says, you said something along the lines of like, that it can't get much worse than that, or
yeah.
I phrase it the way you want to phrase it or whatever, but the entire time I was thinking it was geared towards a conversation we had last week. Mm-hmm. And last week we went down that road. I told you, you're 6 feet under. You can't get any lower than that. Like, there's no 7 feet under. You're 6 feet under. You're buried. The body's dead, excuse me. Like, there's nothing else you can really do. You seem to think there was worse.
Yeah, because I think now you're taking members of your family with you. Now, okay. we're like pharaohs of old, where it's like, okay, I'm dying, and now my wife, 37 concubine, and 3 of my least favorite children, and my favorite dog are going with me.
I always put the
dog
in there.
You're going in the tomb with me. That's what this is. I mean, because you know why? Because it's the latest disaster. And what's been so interesting is, even though there are through lines, apparently the defense can't communicate.
The same talking point we had 2 weeks ago.
Wild.
Same talk. They did it on the broadcast, and then you had Rodney McLeod come into the studio after saying in the post game about the communication issues.
Yeah. And by the way, everyone's like, oh, yeah, we got this. You don't. But it's communication issues.
Another Juan Thornhill mistake, by the way.
It's a lack of attention to detail. Like, by the way, it's just the wrong mistake at the wrong moment. Like, it is a bad. I mean, Jameis, good God. Jameis is so confused every time he makes a bad play. Like, it's so funny.
He had some really bad throws in the beginning of the game.
Like, when he connects on like a 50-yard bomb, you see him sprint down the field and he's got this smile on his face. And when he overthrows, I think it was Tillman on the one sideline.
Yeah, in the far right corner.
For like a 10-yard pass. Overthrew him by 10 feet.
Yeah, it was not even close.
And then he's just, you pan to Jameis and he's just like, how did that happen? I don't know, guy who threw it. How did it happen? But it was.
He's like the stumbling drunk guys. They try to put their keys in the door and just can't figure it out. And then they're like, "How did we get here?"
I am that guy. So easy. But no, I mean, so the reason why it can get worse and why it will is it's only going to get more depressing the more this team does this.
I can't get more depressed than I was yesterday. Well, like, see, that's not even, and that's not even, it's the same depressed I was 2 weeks ago, which is the same depressed I was 4 weeks ago and 5 weeks ago. We're losing to bad teams consistently. It's the same thing.
Yeah, okay.
It's the same thing.
But again, it's the same thing again and again and again and again.
It's Groundhog Day.
There is an applied pressure that does. I mean, you lose on Thursday.
I'm just
surprised
this is the one that broke people. Like, why is this the one? Maybe what I think is interesting, Nick, is I feel like everyone's coming to the conclusions at different points, and maybe I just got to the conclusion after the Chargers game, or maybe I felt like you did too.
I got there before the Ravens game.
I feel like it. I feel like you were there ahead of everyone. But like, that's why we spent last week talking about the culture. Now the culture was shot. Is it the people that believed in the culture still? Are these the ones that are the most crushed today?
No, it's because the first three quarters, it was entertaining, it was fun, and they played with spirit, heart, and focus. And they didn't play perfectly. I mean, this was a game that was about two teams that aren't very good trading off, only to then in the fourth quarter embarrass you. So you had hope you were going to win that game. You went in thinking, this might be your most winnable game left. Then you saw it for three quarters. And then the team did the unforgivable.
Okay, because
the thing you can't forgive is when you give up in a game.
I watched that guy being the guys in Major League. I was like, they'll blow it. I watched that game. Seriously, I was just counting down the moments until they ended up imploding.
Did you have that much like heart in it though? Because I was surprised.
I watched the game just because I was watching the game. I was entertained by it.
I was entertained. So I will say I got
mad about the Trudukin thing.
I didn't fully believe they could win going into the fourth quarter. But so I can't admit, like, oh, I thought you had a chance. I thought you played a reasonably well enough game, a game you can acquit, right? A game that you're not going to get convicted off that game acquitting. In the second they give up the first touchdown, I thought there's no way they're going to get this. I just thought Jameis has been too mistake-free all game, so if he's going to start letting it loose, feeling the pressure, he's going to make a big boo-boo, and he didn't, by the way.
No, he actually passed your threshold of stat line that you said you'd give him flowers today.
It was...
Earlier last week, you said 250 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. He threw for almost 400 yards.
With a win.
Well...
The win was implied. But no, so I think that...
It's impressive to go for 400 yards, two touchdowns, and no picks and not get a win.
But it was the defense and special teams. You actually called the way the game unfolded offensively the perfect Stefanski game. Can you walk me through that real quick? Because I think it's real merit there.
It's a lot of the idea that Jameis Winston, backup quarterback, not supposed to look great, not supposed to have this surge with the offense, and he did. I mean, like, that was the best we've seen. The trio of wide receivers that we're trying to build this around... What if they had a better game where all three of them came together the way that they did yesterday? Jerry Jeudy was incredible. And it's so Stefanski to make the offense look good, be humming, not score a bunch of points in the process, but have them look good, look way more than just competent. And then everything else around this team continues to just be an absolute dumpster fire. It just like looks like it's on fire. That is Stefanski's 5 years as a Browns head coach in a nutshell.
Here's what it was, because I love that you said the Stefanski game. Because this is my criticism. It was a lot of style points and very few substance points. And that, to me, is the essential kernel of the question, is Kevin the right coach? Because we're now split on it. People are now having the conversation. But a useless yardage that doesn't get you in the end zone, your kicker can't make a field goal, the defense gives it up late, special teams gives it up late. Like, that's the quintessential game of a team that does not hate Kevin Stefanski, but that does not play for Kevin.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Kevin Stefanski. And that, I think, is another notch in the bell of you don't have good enough culture to get this thing turned around this year.
For sure.
And that should inform every decision you make going into next year and beyond.
If you told me to someone, like, hey, go on one of those radio shows and just describe Kevin Stefanski. He just got hired as the new offensive coordinator or head coach. I'd say head coach. This, what are you going to get? I would describe exactly what that game encompassed.
Now, I got to say, we've got Nathan coming up at three. Going to get his thoughts on a lot of things. But I want to play to you. When we come back in Quick Hits, I'm going to play for you what I think is a Jameis Winston masterpiece, because he totally forgot what script he was on after the Browns lost to the Saints. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. But let's get to Quick Hits here. And as promised, the Browns were competitive on Sunday, JP, until they weren't. Jameis went for over 300 yards in the loss. Couple tutties, and let the media inside how he and the team prepared for the noise in the Superdome.
I was whispering cadences at practice, doing walkthroughs. I know these fans here, they get electric, and with it being closed in, it's louder than you can ever imagine. That was our goal this week. Coach came up after the bye week and said, we have to play complimentary football. We have to play smart football, and we have to find a way to finish. And we got to continue to push toward those goals and eliminate all negatives and find a way.
All right, JP, did you hear the point where Jameis remembered he wasn't supposed to be kooky Jameis and instantly turned into sullen Jameis? Did you hear that?
It's a problem of being an all hype guy all the time, is that when something really bad happens, you don't know what to do with yourself.
So I think what happened is he forgot they lost for a second. And he was like, oh, I've got to tell people how up I got for this game that I would kill. I'd become a contracted killer just for the ability to hear Jameis at practice being like, red 42.
You can't do it.
Meanwhile, in Berea, where it's just like birds chirping, like it's silence because it's a dead season and the season's over and everybody knows it. And he's just like, all right, Spider-White 2 Banana, Omaha.
You did a group.
Omaha. Yeah. I listened to it like 4 times before the show of listening to me like, man, I got so excited. I whispered. And he's like, oh, wait, I'm not with the Saints anymore. We just got our asses kicked. I got to shut up.
He did throw 400 yards, though. Think about it. Like, if you're Jameis, you threw 400 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Good game for you. Bad game for the team.
Yeah, I mean,
good game for you, though. Like, how do you balance that? I've always thought that's a really hard thing as a player. You get curb stomped, but you yourself had a great game.
I don't think he had a great game. I think he put up a lot of yards. He had 2 really good throws. I mean, the Jerry Jeudy throw was awesome.
Well, hold on. We're going to dismiss Jameis's 400-yard performance and no interceptions.
Calories.
And okay. I think in Jameis's mind, he left thinking that was a pretty good game.
I don't think he had an awful game, but look at what were they on third down. Yeah, they were 3-13 on third down.
Yeah, they weren't good on third.
Who's the quarterback
on
third down?
They threw for a lot of yards.
How many times did
they throw for a lot of yards. They had a lot. Well, I mean, there was some interesting moments in there, including 4th-and-1 where Nick Chubb just lost 2 yards.
I mean, they were 4-16 on third and fourth down.
You don't think Jameis? You don't think Jameis left thinking he had a good game?
No, I guess, but I think he thinks a lot of things.
Okay.
I think Jameis thinks a lot of things that are. He lives in a distorted reality field.
All right, we'll get back to this a little bit later on.
Omaha.
Jake Paul, the fight, it stunk. It absolutely stunk.
Good.
We had Rosie Perez on the call, which was fantastic for everybody. You saw Mike Tyson's butt cheeks. It was it was an experience for everything. It had everything, but it was
had streaming issues.
The fight itself was awful, Nick.
It was.
It was absolutely, and the fight before it was great, and then the fight that actually was supposed to be awesome with 60 million people watching. They had streaming issues. The fight seemed I'll give Jake Paul credit. Can I give him credit here?
You may.
I said going into it, it was going to be a lose-lose, because either he lost to Mike Tyson, and that's a loss, or he beat up an old man, and that's not great for anybody to watch either. He had the awareness that Tyson's legs weren't there, and he didn't have it, and then Jake Paul basically played nice the rest of the way instead of beating up on an old man, and he could have easily, it looked like third, fourth round, easily just taken Tyson out. He didn't do that because he knew nobody wanted to see that.
We just talked about empty calories for a 400-yard performance and a 21-point loss. That's all anything to do with either Paul brother is. Actually, not fair. The other one, who does the WWE-ing, he's actually pretty okay at that. But they're one-trick pony. Right, they're professional heels because we live in an era of the nice guy society, and then you actually get them into a spot where they could do something of consequence, and they don't do it because they're a one-trick pony.
He still won.
Yeah, I don't think that's an accomplishment. I think it is.
What was the accomplishment?
I think the accomplishment is you've got 60 million
people to tune in, so he did it.
Yeah, no. But here's the thing: nobody realizes the grift. If you're one of the 60 million people, I don't mind because. You sign up for Tyson, right? But if you sign up for the next one, it's now on you. Like, this should just expose what clowns these two jamokes are.
They've been making money for a lot of years.
Yes.
They clearly understand the game.
Yeah, well, yes. That's not.
Like, hey, listen, you can be a grifter and make a lot of money.
Yes, being a grifter is not a skill. But let's just call it what it is. No, they are grifters.
I think what they do and how they present it and how they're able to latch onto all these different type of things, 100% a skill. Like I heard now, all of a sudden the conversations about getting Conor McGregor in a fight. I would watch him fight Conor McGregor.
Are we just going to watch a bunch of old, washed-up dudes who have no business?
That's his lane. That's his lane. That's what he's latched himself onto.
I would say that I wish we could go back to a time where there was substance. It is boxing, and it's been dead for 50 years.
Omaha!
While the Browns lost another tough game on Sunday, another ex-Browns player is enjoying life elsewhere as Amari Cooper and the Bills bested the Chiefs. Is a great game, 30-20 in Orchard Park. After the dub, Coop was over the moon.
It's the first time in a long time that I've actually felt joy, you know, from winning this game, from, you know, just the way we played, from having so many guys on the team who, you know, are playmakers, and they come up and they show up when their number is called, you know, collectively as a group. It's just amazing, you know, a lot of the guys here. It's just kind of a different place to Buffalo compared to some of the other places I've been to. So a lot of the guys, it's a tight-knit group, I would say. A lot of the guys go out together, they hang around each other 24/7, and it truly shows up on the field.
I mean, he's directly subtweeting the Cleveland Browns,
right? Are we taking everything he said as a shot? Like, are the Browns not a tight-knit group?
Like, I guess not. Now, again,
do they not all hang out? Is that the idea here?
I mean, I think we have to realize that Amari said the Browns were a tight-knit group when he was here, so I'm going to assume he was just lying.
Great one-handed catch he had on the side. It was really old Amari was back, and that tells me that old Amari probably never left.
You know what's crazy about that? He's averaging 44 yards a game. As a Bill, in three games. Almost 50 yards a game. So he's not who he was he's not who he was the previous year where he was just a hyper-productive guy. And he's happy. He's happy being a 50-yard receiver again.
He's still battling injuries over there. And they don't really truly have a number one right now. And so, he could be that number one. I think he knows that. There's an upside there for Amari. I think he gets that.
I think he's just enjoying not being a Cleveland Brown.
Omaha!
Inside the NBA, going to appear on ESPN and ABC next season. We didn't know if Inside the NBA was going to go away. They're going to be on ESPN. Nick, it's going to feel weird having Shaq and Charles and Kenny and the whole entire gang on the Booyah Network. If they try to squeeze in Stephen A. Smith on that show, I'm going to lose my mind.
You know they are. And two, they're going to ruin it. They ruined Katie Nolan. Anything ESPN, there's a weird thing with ESPN that anything that they didn't create, they only acquire so they can ruin.
Okay, but here's the pushback. Pat McAfee, when he went to ESPN, we thought he was going to go down that same road too, where it just gets ruined. Pat McAfee's been every bit the same Pat McAfee he was prior, having a lot of success, not being really the Mickey Mouse ears attached to what you typically would see when they go over there. I wonder if inside the NBA will be able to pull off the same type of treatment, where they built this thing already, they are so steadfast in their beliefs of how to do it that they just get away with all of it.
I mean, if ESPN was smart, they would just let them do what they do. The problem is, well, okay, so I don't think ESPN is stupid, but I think in broadcasting, ego becomes the thing of, I can't take credit for that, so the only way I can take credit is if I put my spin on it, and sure, that's how you ruin it.
I agree.
I have had enough program directors in this business, not at this station, thankfully, but at this business, that quite frankly is like, hey, yeah, you've got a great rated show. Let me go ahead and change it so I can tell my bosses how I did this. And then they sucked the life out of
the thing. But what McAfee did is when they tried to change it, he outed all of the executives that were trying to change it and said, this guy's trying to change my show, screw him. And I would bet dollars to donuts inside the NBA would have the same mentality.
Now I want donuts.
I do too.
Omaha!
The Bengals season is almost as disappointing as the Browns. Despite 356 yards passing and three touchdowns from Joe Burrow, they fell to 4-6 in a Sunday night loss to the Chargers. It was interesting down the stretch, I will give them that. After the game, Ja'Marr Chase was asked why the team struggled to finish out games and gave a doozy of an answer.
You've seen Evan
finish. Like, I've heard everybody obviously knows you need to do it. What do you do?
How do I do it? I don't know. Ask Zach. Ask the coaches. Don't ask me. That's not my job.
To finish?
I play football on the field. I don't call plays, of course. You know? So I can't really do nothing.
So I think in the follow-up, you do hear that the reporters don't necessarily buy it's all on Zach Taylor. Is it safe to assume Ja'Marr Chase would like a new head coach now, please?
I think they all kind of do. The Bengals now have 5 losses this season when they scored 25 points or more. That's tied for the most in NFL history for a team through 11 games. And that is insane. They have no defense, Nick. They have zero defense.
If they were both fired, who gets a job first, Zach Taylor or Kevin Stefanski?
Stefanski. Not even close.
You know what's wild about that? One of those coaches has been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And
but he's continued to get zero credit for that Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, but here's the thing. The next year, he's got a 5-2 playoff record. Now, again, I tend to think a lot of that's Joe Burrow, but I just think if we did the blind resume test, you'd probably go with Zach Taylor.
If I was Zach Taylor's family, I'd be like, he's the only guy that can beat Patrick Bleepin' Mahomes. You need to hire him. But it doesn't mean it's real.
So you think Stefanski's a better coach?
I think Stefanski's a better coach. Yeah, I think Stefanski with Joe Burrow would be awesome. The problem with this Bengals team is that it doesn't matter who you have with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's not the problem. He's playing great. He's putting up close to MVP caliber numbers, Nick. This defense is so bad because they're so mom and pop shop and they're so poor as a franchise. They can't afford any defenders, and you see what happened. Last night was Exhibit A.
I don't think this is on the coach. I think it's on a bad organization. Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst, next on 92.3 The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.